Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
I want to read you a poem today. Anybody like cowboy poems? I know we got a few people that like cowboy poems. Some of you guys have never heard one. And I'm not a cowboy poet, but I'm going to actually try to read you one today. It's called The Cattleman's Prayer, and this ought to be our prayer today. And it's written by an unknown author in 1890. It says this: "Now, O Lord, please lend me thine ear, the prayer of a cattleman here. No doubt the prayers may seem strange, but I want you to bless our cattle range. Bless the roundups year by year, and don't forget the growing steer. Water the lands with brooks and rills for my cattle that roam on 1,000 hills. Prairie fires, won't you please stop? Let the thunder roll and the water drop. Amen. It frightens me to see the smoke. Unless it stopped, I'll go dead broke. As you, O Lord, my herd behold, it represents a sack of gold. I think at least 5 cents a pound will be the price of beef the year round." A little bit more than that nowadays. "One thing more and then I'm through. Instead of one calf, give my cows two. I may pray different from other men, but I've had my say, and now amen." Amen. Well, here's the thing. Happy hour. Pour me some spirit and leave the bottle. We have been covering two topics in this series. And the first topic was alcohol, right? And I have a little story that I want to tell you. This is a pretty neat story. Now, don't you guys rush the stage to get a sip of this. But this is a cool story. I was on Facebook the other day, and a friend of mine named Russell Ladd. Anybody know Russell? I think he's from Visalia or around here somewhere. But anyways, he is a drummer. He plays for the Great Western Opry. Anyways, his wife is a CPA in Fargo, Oklahoma. Anybody know Ladd CPA? Yes? Okay. Well, they were renovating an office building or a garage right next to their office there. And in the wall this past week, they found 8 bottles of Old Crow whiskey. I mean, he was like, "Man, I was searching for money, you know, but I found 8 bottles of Old Crow whiskey." And if his tabulations are right, on the bottom here it has 57. So this is was actually brewed in 1957. So it's 57 years old, and it was actually brewed in Texas at a brewery there. It's straight bourbon whiskey, 86 proof. Anybody want a shot? Oops. But I thought that was pretty cool. Here's why I bought it. I actually bought it. Some of you guys are like, "Yeah, a little sip on the..." No, I'm not like that. You know, I don't do that. You guys might think that because the way that I act, but I'm not like that. But actually, no chuck wagon is for real without a shot of whiskey or a bottle of whiskey. So that's why we bought the whiskey. I thought it was a neat story. And so that'll be on the chuck wagon if you need a nip. At all of our church events. Well, you may be thinking, well, okay, why a series on alcohol and why a series on the Holy Spirit? Now, here's the thing. Alcohol and the Holy Spirit are two of the least talked about subjects in most churches. How many of you guys have ever heard any teaching on alcohol other than mine? Okay, 4 of you. Thanks. Yeah. Again, not talked about a whole lot. Alcohol's not talked about a whole lot, and neither is the Holy Spirit. And so, again, what we see the Bible talk about, which the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit a lot, and the Bible talks about alcohol a lot. And so what we see the Bible talk about, we are going to talk about. Now, again, you may not agree with everything that maybe I believe or whatever, but the Bible is true, and the Bible is absolute on lots of the subjects concerning alcohol and the Holy Spirit. The key verse that we've looked at is this. It's Ephesians 5:18, and if you'll show it up on the screen, it says this. It says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because it'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the," what? "The Holy Spirit." Week 1, we looked at the idea of alcohol, and we asked 2 questions. Remember this? The first question was this: can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? Right? Remember that question? Can a Christian drink alcohol? Again, a lot of people are asking that, especially a lot of people in our church that maybe are just now coming to the faith in Christ. They wonder, can I have a beer and not sin? Well, the truth is, and this is what the Bible says, it's not the pastor's opinion, but the Bible says that alcohol is a gift from God. I was waiting for all you alcoholics. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. But alcohol is a gift from God. And you say, what's that mean? Here's the truth. Just like food, just like money, just like sex, just like all those other things are gifts from God, alcohol is a gift from God. The Bible says it. Jesus, his first miracle that he ever performed, he turned water into what?
Wine.
And so again, alcohol is a gift from God, but here's the other truth in what Jesus would say. And again, the message title for this title the first week was, what would Jesus brew? Which I love saying that because I think it's kind of catchy. But what would Jesus brew? Again, Jesus would say alcohol is a gift, but drunkenness, here's what else he says, drunkenness is a sin. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You can try to argue with it all you want, but drunkenness is a sin, and drunkenness never produces godliness. Think about it. I mean, I've heard horror story after horror story. I've dealt with couple after couple. I've dealt with individual after individual who seems to get drunk a lot, and they struggle. And again, so the first question was, can you drink alcohol as a Christian and not sin? The answer is yes, but here's the second part of it. The second question was, should you drink alcohol? Remember that? And here's the truth. It's not wise for some people to drink alcohol. Like my background, my dad was, you know, he liked to nip on the whiskey. He didn't like, I don't think beer. He liked more like whiskey. My dad's dad was an alcoholic, and my uncle was an alcoholic and pretty much, you know, drank himself to death. My dad's dad died in a car wreck, supposedly drunk. My dad, before he met the Lord, liked to drink a lot. And so for me, it's not wise probably for me to partake of the spirits. You know why? Because I might like it too much. And there's always that risk. Now, can I do it? Could I do it? Possibly. But again, there's always that risk. So it may not be wise. And so the question is, should you drink alcohol? Well, again, it may not be wise for some of you. If you have a extreme personality and you just can't stop. I mean, you're like me again with M&Ms. I mean, if the bag's there, I'm going to eat it, the whole bag. If you have that extreme personality, you may not want to drink. May not be wise for you. Here's the second part of that. It may not be wise for you to drink around certain people. Again, some people struggle with it. Some people, they can't handle just one. Some people have been abused because their father was drunk all the time. And it may not be wise for you to drink around those people. It's all about this. If you're going to drink, you need to do it for the glory of God and for the good of others. If you're not going to drink, you need to do it for the glory of God and the good of others. Amen? And so again, you can look up the Bible. You can look up all those verses online on thousandhillsranchchurch.com, and it'll explain it even more. And so again, last week we turned the tables onto the Holy Spirit, and we answered two questions. Okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? Remember that? Who is the Holy Spirit? And the answers are this. He is God. He is not the Father and not the Son. He is a distinct being, and he is a person. Okay? And again, you can go listen to that online. The second question that we answer is, where did the Holy Spirit come from? And again, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an id. It's not a gooly ghost. It's not, you know, something to be scared of. It's not something that's under your bed. He is a person. And so where did he come from? Well, the truth was, and we learned this, he was there before the beginning of the earth. He was there before the earth was even formed. The truth is, he was there while the earth was being created as well. He was at work in the Old Testament, and when Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to the earth and began a brand new ministry in us. And again, that's kind of the cliff notes for the whole sermon, but that's where we have gone so far. Now today, I want to answer one more question, and I'm done for today, okay? But before I dive in, I want to give you some interesting, some cool facts about the Holy Spirit. You ready for these? I thought these were pretty interesting. And maybe you've heard these all your life, maybe you haven't. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit played a major role in Jesus's life. A major role. The truth is, without the Holy Spirit, that Jesus probably wouldn't have been born, right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit was the agent of Christ's virgin birth. Remember that? Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, look what she says to the angel. She said to the angel, well, how will this be? The angel said, you're going to get pregnant with this Jesus guy. And she says, well, how will this be since I am a virgin? In verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And you say, well, so how was Jesus born? He wasn't born of a human father. He was born through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Here's the second thing that happened in Jesus' life. While Jesus was on earth, guess what? Jesus was led by the Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 18. It says this, then Jesus, full of the what? The Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed. Again, Jesus himself was led by the Holy Spirit. And here's the last cool fact about Jesus' life and the Holy Spirit. Jesus rose from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? You ever read this verse? Look at Romans 1:4. It says, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the what? The Holy Spirit. And so again, you say, okay, Bo, that's the Holy Spirit's role in Jesus' life. Here's the question that I have for you today. What is the role for the Holy Spirit in our lives? What is the role in the Holy for the Holy Spirit in our lives? And again, as we learned last week, here's the thing. The Father, his role, guess what? His role was to design a plan to save the world, right? That was God's role. The Son's role was his plan was to fulfill the plan of the Father, right? And so you got different roles there. And then when you come to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, well, what's the role of the Holy Spirit? I want to give you what I believe the greatest gift to us is from the Holy Spirit. Number one is this. The Holy Spirit reveals our sin and our need for Christ. Think about it. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has revealed my sin to me. Look at John 16:8. It says this, and when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Some of you may be here today and you're thinking, well, Bo, I don't want anybody revealing my sin to me. I don't want anybody revealing my sin to anybody. But here's the truth. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealing your sin is a gift from God. Listen, it's a gift from God. Here's why. Because I realize I'm a sinner, because I realize I have sinned against God, guess what? I also am able to realize that I need a Savior. Here's the truth. If you are a true believer in Jesus and you have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you have admitted that you're a sinner, that you can't clean yourself up, and that you need Jesus, and you surrender your life. And listen, all of that is revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not on our own. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here's an interesting thing. Some people would say that the Holy Spirit only works in those that know Jesus personally. And I would say that that's partially true. Here's why. Because before I came to Christ, guess who drew me to Christ? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit drew me to Christ. And so again, the Holy Spirit obviously does work in the lives of Christians. He does convict us of our sin throughout our lives. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit is what drew me to Jesus. Before I ever gave my life to him, the Holy Spirit said, Bo, you're a sinner. Bo, you need a savior. And his name is Jesus. And he drew me to Christ. He drew me to Christ. And so does the power of the Holy Spirit work in the unchurched or unsaved person's life? At the beginning, absolutely. And once they give their lives to Christ, then he will continue to work. And here's the thing. I cannot convince you with my clever words that you ought to be saved. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, again, some people, I've been around some people and they just want to convince somebody. They just want to shove it down their throat. They just want to say, you need Jesus. You need to pray and accept Jesus today. You need to do it right now. You need to get this relationship started now. You need to do it now, 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 now. And then this person feels the pressure to give their lives to Christ because the preacher just shoved it down his throat. Now, here's the truth. The only way that I can truly know Christ and come to know Christ is through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. If you give your life to Christ just because you want to please the preacher, then it's probably not a true salvation experience because you're pleasing me, not the Lord. Does that make sense? And you say, well, okay, well, what's that mean? I mean, true salvation only happens through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 6:63. It says this. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you, and Jesus is talking, the very words I have spoken to you are the Spirit and life. And then look at Titus 3:5. It says this. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so again, the Holy Spirit has to draw you. And you say, how do I know if the Holy Spirit is drawing me? And again, every situation, everybody's decision to give their life to Christ is different. But here's how I would maybe explain the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You're sitting there in your chair. Maybe it's you're sitting in the saddle. Maybe it's, you know, you're at a ball game. I don't know where it would be, but you're sitting there. And all of a sudden, you get this sense of somebody is speaking to your life. You feel this tug at your heart. You begin to realize, you know what? There is something missing in my life. I've got all the money. I've got my wife. I got my kids. I got all this other stuff. Or I'm young. I've got all the things going for me. And then all of a sudden you realize there's something missing in your life. And you hear this still small voice talking to you saying, hey, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that you need. And again, some people experience that with a miraculous event. Maybe it's a life or death situation, and they come out of it, and they're alive, and they say, I'm going to give my life to Christ because he revealed to me that I needed him in that event. And sometimes it's this big experience, but sometimes it's just a still small voice in the quiet of the day. But can I just tell you, some of you guys have experienced this big event that it changed your life, and that is amazing. But some of you guys have experienced this small voice that has just spoken to you. And again, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I just tell you this? Both of them are the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. Both of them. Again, some people want to say, well, I didn't have this big, miraculous, you know, event that took place in my life. I can't even remember, you know, really the true day when I gave my life to Christ. Listen, it's not about a spot. It's about the Spirit. And if you will give your life to Christ, he will change your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so again, the Holy Spirit, he reveals our sin and our need for Christ. Here's the second thing that he does. When we receive the Holy Spirit, the moment we trust in Christ is the moment that he comes to live in our lives. Again, some people would say, you know what? I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit. Well, if you have truly believed in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. You may just not have practiced the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8, 9. It says this, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." You see what it's saying? No Spirit, no Jesus. No Jesus, no Spirit. And so again, some people would say, you know, the Spirit comes later and you've got to do this, this, and this for the Spirit to really, you know, be in your life. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe that when I give my life to Christ, he sends his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwells in me, and I possess all of the Holy Spirit that I'm ever going to possess. Again, the Bible is clear on that. Here's an amazing truth, though. In the moment that we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of us. You think about the Old Testament, and you read the Old Testament, and you'll see that the Spirit falled on certain people. Moses, falled on the priest. I mean, the Spirit of God was found in the temple. It was found in a cloud. It was found in a wind. It was found in a fire. But here's the truth. When Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to the earth and began to live inside of us, to indwell inside of us. And so again, you say, the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of me? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit comes into your life the moment you give your life to Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Do you not realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and who lives in you and who was given to you by God?" And so again, the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal our sin and the need for our Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes into our lives the moment we give our lives to Christ. And here's the last one, and I'm done. The Holy Spirit transforms us when we give our lives to Christ. I mean, again, and you think, well, how does that happen? Well, here's the truth. I'm not going to get into it all today. I'm going to wait for the next couple weeks, and I'm going to explain how the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. But I want to leave you with this. Romans 8, 10 and 11 says this, "And Christ lives within you. So even through your body, even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God." Look at verse 11. "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." And you say, okay, but what's all that mean? Here's what it means. When you give your life to Christ, you go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Here's what else the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life because you've accepted Christ into your life, guess what? You go from not having a purpose in life to having an eternal purpose. You go from not having a real meaning in life to having a true meaning in life. You go from not having the power to say no to the sin that has entangled your life to having the power to overcome sin in your life. And you don't have to fight on your own. I mean, again, I deal with situations all the time, and I'm like, I cannot handle this by myself. And that is the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have to handle it by myself. I can turn to him, and he gives me the power to rise above my sin, to rise above my circumstances, and to rise above this earth and allow him to be glorified even in the crap that I face every day. And so listen, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit will transform you. And you say, Bo, I don't know what that looks like. Well, you need to come back. You need to come back. For the next few weeks, we are going to talk about how the Holy Spirit can transform your life. And again, it's not something to be scared of. It's not something to be worried about. We're not going to do crazy things in our church that make you feel confused. We are going to biblically explain how the Holy Spirit can change your life and guide you and give you that hope that you need. So I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's the thing. A lot of Christians, again, they've asked Jesus to save them. They've given their heart to Jesus, but they've never really practiced the power that they possess through the Holy Spirit. And you say, again, Bo, what does that look like? Well, I hope that you'll come back. In the next few weeks, we're going to look at what that power is and how the Holy Spirit can give you that power. But here's the thing. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit has revealed your sin today. And not only has he revealed that you're a sinner and that you're going to die and you're going to go to hell without a Savior, but he has shown you that again, you do have a hope. You do have a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so maybe, again, you're here today and you know you're a sinner. The Lord, through the power, again, of the Holy Spirit, has revealed that to you today. Listen, you may be feeling that tug on your heart right now. And the words that I've spoken today through the power of the Holy Spirit have pricked your heart. And you realize that you need Jesus in your life. Can I just tell you today, don't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not a voice to be scared of. It's not a voice that you have to run from. It's a voice that you ought to run to. And you ought to say, you know what? I believe in Jesus today. I confess him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to give him my life so that the power of the Holy Spirit can come and live in my life. And so listen, maybe you just need to pray that right there in your seat. You say, okay, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. So Jesus, come into my life. I confess you as my Lord today. And I believe that you rose from the dead and that you live in heaven. And I want to be there someday. Maybe you just prayed that in your heart. Listen, if you just prayed that and you confessed him as your Lord and Savior and you believe that with all of your heart, then you now possess the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, you're going, holy smoke, what do I do now? Listen, you can grow as you go. Again, I don't know everything about the Word of God. I don't know everything about Christ. I don't know everything about the Holy Spirit. But I've grown over the years through reading his Word, through coming to church, through spending time praying and asking God to reveal himself through the power of the Holy Spirit to me. And so listen, here's the truth. If you have given your life to Christ for the first time today, we want to know about it. All we ask you to do is fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, or text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you about your decision that you've made to follow Christ today. It's that simple. And again, we're not going to hound you. We're not going to call you 49 times a day. Listen, we are going to come alongside of you and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the other side of it. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. Can I just ask you to do something right now? Maybe you just need to pray in your heart, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just need to thank the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for entering into my life and coming into my life. Even though I was a sinner, you chose to come into my life, and I want to be transformed every day for your glory. Maybe that needs to be your prayer right now. Don't neglect the power of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing to be scared of. It is a great thing. And so, again, maybe you're a Christian today that deals with that. Maybe you're a lost person who just gave your life to Christ. Again, if you have prayer requests or you want to understand more, we would love to be able to visit with you and explain whatever it is that you have a question about. And so please find us or fill out that card and we will contact you at a later date. And it'll be soon. Here's what I want to do. I want to close this in a word of prayer. And then we're going to be dismissed. And I want to thank you for being here today. Lord, I just come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you that I have the pleasure of sweating it out with this group of people in this cell barn for your glory. Lord, I thank you that you have saved my life and you have saved many of the people's lives in this barn today. And Lord, we thank you for the power that we possess in the Holy Spirit. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this barn every week that we meet together, and that you would fill our lives every day that we walk this earth, so that we can bring glory to your name. And it's in your holy name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Have a great week.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.